Hello, friends. This is Pastor Benjamin Faircloth from Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia. And I want to say a big God bless you. And thank you for taking your time to watch this prophetic warning and this video here that I need to share with you and your family. And thanks so much for taking the time. I know your time is very important as it is for me. In fact, I'm not wearing my preacher outfit today, my preaching uniform, but I'm at the house. And just chilling out, getting ready for Wednesday night service. But I need to share this word with you. And that's why I felt it was imperative that I get this word out today on Wednesday, the 30th of August, 2017. I want to just read this word to you and give you the backdrop of where everything is at and how I came to this point of this broadcast, this podcast. You know, I didn't get very much sleep last night. You know, to give you this message. So I'm going to talk about this message real quick, and you can go to my website at ignitedchurchlife.com, and you can find this word there. But on August 29th at 6 a.m., during my morning prayer time, I was inquiring of the Lord what he wanted me to say during my interview with Lindley Oz. And I was just, you know, there in my chair, spending time just meditating and listening. And it was scheduled, you know, this interview was scheduled for later in the day. And this is what happened. He showed me that what he wanted me to do in this interview. And when you watch the interview with me and Lynn, I talk about Ezekiel chapter 7. And I continue to warn people around that particular chapter, as well as various other messages recently the Lord has given me. One is called The Point of No Return, Danger Close. The Day of the Jackal. These are just messages, prophetic messages that the Father had laid on my heart. So I was just hearing from him that, you know, I needed to get ready for that and speak on that later on in the day. And one of the things I want you to hear is his purpose for this show, as far as my assignment was to show America the reoccurring evil that is coming, which is the domino effect of judgment. And I mentioned that on the What's Next Prophecy Conference that Michael Snyder and I did here in Livonia, Georgia. And when it was my time to minister, I ministered Danger Close, Ezekiel chapter 7, and I spoke on the reoccurring evil. It was evil upon evil, but in the Hebrew, it's like a dominoes. It's evil upon evil. It's continuous. And it's almost as like one strike after the other or one blow after the other. And now you got to remember, this is before Hurricane Harvey. This was right before the solar eclipse. And, you know, we, as far as Michael and I were concerned, you know, we planned this conference way back in February of 2017. So we had no idea, but it was highly prophetic and it was right on time. And I encourage you to go back and listen and watch and go to those archives. So that's what I was supposed to do. So as I'm there, you know, concentrating and meditating and hearing what I need to do for the interview with Lynn, the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, "A September of sorrows." A September of sorrows, almost like a title of a book or a title of a movie. And obviously, I caught a hold of that. And I asked the Father, I said, was this for America only? And he replied to me that it was global, that this is going to be a global thing. And that September would be a time of sorrow. So I had to leave my prayer time. I couldn't stay in prayer because of the things I had to do and had to go on. And so, you know, all day long, I just kept hearing that in my spirit. In fact, at the end of my interview with Lindley Oz, I mentioned to her the word, a September of sorrows, a September of sorrows. And I told her, I said, I didn't have the fullness of that word. And so again, all day long, it just was in my spirit. And so I got a chance to get with the Father, and that was on yesterday. And he gave me Jeremiah 10, and you need to go and read Jeremiah 10. It's very powerful. Spend some time in the Bible. Don't spend so much time and listen to some guy or some gal's prophecy. Look at the Bible and see what the Bible says and match it with the current realities of your day. And that's how you know if somebody's false or somebody's on the money or what have you. But Jeremiah chapter 10, I'm looking at my Bible right now, verse 17, and I just want to read this real quick, verse 17, verse 18, and then we'll get into that word. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitants of the fortress. In other words, get up all your idols. Get up all your things. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once and will distress them that they may find it so. Again, you got to read all of Jeremiah chapter 10. But, you know, it's very powerful that God is going to deal with the land. He's going to deal with people. And that's what's taking place in our nation right now. He's dealing with people. And, in a way that hopefully brings us to the revelation and the realization that we need God. We need him in this hour. And he's not worried about our things. He's really not. At the end of the day, it's all about our soul. It's about where our heart is and if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in America, I think we've lost that understanding. And we don't have that focus anymore. So in this particular word that you will read online, I said, it's now 2 a.m. on August 30th, 2017, and the Father has given me the completion of this word. And this is a warning. This is a signal to get your affairs in order. There's an alarm ringing for those who did not go back to sleep. And all I can say is that the Father has been speaking very clearly to this ministry that there will be no going back to what used to be. The fictional world of Mayberry on TV, it's gone. It's over. You know, we're not going to see that day. That's a pipe dream. That's a dream that the elite and the beast system and the Antichrist and all that deceptive type of spirit wants you to think that everything's going to be well and we're just going to slide on past all this. God's going to wink his eye and he's going to say, you know what, it was, my mistake and continue on, foul ball. And everything's just wonderful. And that's not the way sin works. The wages of sin is death, whether it's to an individual or to a nation. And so the hour is late and the stakes are the highest they can be. The rewards are for the souls of humanity, for these souls to embrace the life-saving message of the cross. So that's just a little understanding, a backdrop of how this word I'm going to read to you came. And the specific word, a September of sorrows. And so I was just completely amazed at this. And I'm going to have more confirmation in just a minute from some other sources. But let me give you this word. He said, son of man, speak to the four corners of your nation and declare to my backslidden sheep, I have an issue with their sin. I hear the sound of violence. I hear the sound of tumult and turmoil. I hear the sound of destruction. I hear the sound of distress. The inhabitants of the earth have no fear of my name. The people of my planet still mock my son and scorn his cross. I have waited for the sound of praise to spring forth from the earth. I have endured the seasons of sin till now. I will arise and I will release the floods of your enemies, and they will come out of the secret and dark places. The secret in the dark places. This is one of the problems that we have in the church today, is we don't have enough light in our life to be able to see the secret in dark places, the entrapments, the enemy's ability to steal, kill, and destroy our families and our children. We don't have enough light coming to us from our preachers to warn us of the hour that we're living in when it's so obvious, it's so plain in front of us, but yet we refuse because we live in darkness, and men love darkness rather than light. And that's sad, but that's also the case of the church. He says, well, I will arise and I'll release the floods of your enemies, and they will come out of the secret or dark places like scorpions from their hidden places. They will strike. Vengeance is mine, and I'll repay those who mock my name, my salvation, and my tolerance of grace. I am not as you, O man of the dust. I am above, and you are beneath. You travail for nothing. without me you labor for false gain. But I will prevail over the works of your hands, and I will arise and reveal to the nations that I am. Great sorrow is prescribed for this month of September. It will be a month and a time to remember that I am. For calamity will strike the heart of man, and great fear will be released in the land. Yet I will remain as I am. My arms will be open to those who turn towards me. My arm is not too short, and my eyes are not blind that I cannot see those who truly embrace me. What will you do in your day of calamity? Where will you go in the time of your distress, or the time of distress? Very powerful word. It's very shocking word of the hour that we're living in, because I believe that September is going to be a time of sorrows for us. And we're already facing those things. And here's some notes that I wrote down that you can read on the website. But I said, I hope the recent events in America have shaken you to your core. For the continuous loss of our military through unexplained accidents here and globally, to civil unrest in our cities and racism accelerating, the opium epidemic in America, the North Korea threat of war, including China, Iran, and Russia, Hurricane Harvey, one of the worst natural disasters in recent history, and the vilest rainstorm we've ever encountered, of which the carnage is still unfolding as I type this word. And by the way, we love everybody in Texas. We love all y'all there in Louisiana and the Gulf states. I'm so sorry for the devastation and the displacement that is taking place with you and your family. And the pictures that we're seeing from here are just beyond words. And I know they're not telling the full story. I remember when I went down to Katrina, there were so many stories that just were not placed in the news, whether they couldn't cover it all or whether they didn't cover it all. All I know is the disaster is much worse than what they're reporting. And people are just talking about it who are down there. In fact, we'll have a team that's going to be down there delivering some supplies, because, you know, we got to do something, and we love you. We love everybody in Texas. We love y'all. You know, this is an hour of judgment, but God is merciful, and just call upon his name and he'll provide and he'll protect and he'll make a way when it seems to be no way, even when we don't understand all of this. But I had to say that, you know, our heart goes out. There's many people that will use what took place and just really batter it and beat people over the head with it, instead of just loving and caring for one another. You know, it's just not the right way. We're not the sons of thunder. We don't call fire down from heaven and add insult to injury. We love and we care, and we say, Father, you know, you're the righteous judge, and we're here to be your arms and your hands and your extension. And that's exactly what Ignited Church is going to do the best we can. And I know there'll be many others that will step up and be a part of that. But anyway, so my point is, and again, you could read this, whether you're either in denial or you just reject the side of God, the judgment side of God, of a holy, righteous God, and you refuse to see what's taking place in your nation and the world. And that is such a sad indictment and a show of ignorance on your part and the part of many theologians, if you will, many preachers, really I call you hirelings, that won't go into the Bible and find out the trueness of who God is. He's not just the God of the New Testament. He is the God of the Old Testament. That's who he is. And his word will forever stay the same. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's an end someday, and there's a day that there'll be payment for our sins. And I believe we're right there. I believe this is the hour. And so watch this. I said, I feel for you because you're going to miss what the Father has planned for the nations. You may very well be caught up in the whiplash of what is coming. Sadly, you will miss the greatest harvest this earth has ever seen. The former and the latter rain coming. Hosea 6:3, Joel 2:23, Haggai 2:9. and it will be harvest time in the midst of judgment. What will you do when it all goes down? Will you hide in your stuff, you know, everything that you own, you know? During a flood, a flat screen TV doesn't do you too good when your roof is gone. None of the expensive things that you bought are going to matter. When an invading army comes, you know, all the things that we put together for survival, in a sense, if we trust in those things, we're going to fail this mission and we're going to miss exactly what God has for us. And he doesn't want us to. Watch this. What will you do when it all goes down? Will you hide in your stuff or will you run to the front line and reap the final harvest? And then I put in here, I said, I don't know what you're going to do. I know what I'm going to do. And then I say, I hope to see you on the front lines. And so you go to my website again, ignitedchurchlife.com, and you could read this entire word, my commentary, my notes on there, and read Jeremiah 10. Now, I had to read it that way to you so it would make sense of, you know, what does that mean, a September of sorrows. Let me be very clear with you right now and your family and those watching. We are in the midst of judgment. We've been in the midst of judgment. We've been in a slow bleed. I've declared that and decreed it from the pulpit of Ignited Church in Livonia, Georgia for several years. And I haven't backed off one bit. When everybody cried reprieve, everybody cried pause, time out, when everybody said, you know, peace and safety, I continue to listen to the Father, and I've continued to show the nation as best as I possibly can, as well as other watchmen and prophetic voices. So I'm not out there by myself. My point is, I continue to warn this nation and show the nation the sin and the things that have been going wrong. And that sin always brings judgment, because the wages of sin is death. A nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. It's very simple kingdom mathematics. It's in the scriptures. If you'll just read it, it's in the scriptures if we can just get preachers to preach it. But, you know, we want to deny it and put our head in the sand in some type of hole somewhere, thinking that it's all going to go away. And again, I'm not adding insult to injury, but what happened and what is happening in Houston and in that region there, that isn't going away for a long, long, long time. And here is my warning. It is going to increase. We're going to see more death. We're going to see more destruction. We're going to see more distress. We're going to see war. We're going to see chaos. We're going to see natural disasters. We're going to see things that are just going to weaken us, even the strong of us, to the very core of our heart. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I watched those pictures coming out of Houston and that region, my heart was broken. It was broken because those are my friends. Well, I don't live there. I live here in Northeast Georgia, but that's the citizens of this nation. I love them. I love my country. And I understood that these were, you know, days of judgment, but also understand that these are days of mercy, that we as the church cannot, especially the prophetic community that knows what's coming up and coming on the calendar of the prophetic reality. You know, we can't just say, well, I told you so. We don't have that right. And we would be really, really in the crosshairs of God rebuking us if we act that way. So if you start hearing people act that way, and I told you so, and those type of comments, you better get away from them, because that's not the right spirit. The right spirit is to say, Father, you're sovereign. You will do what you want to do according to the timetable of your word, according to the dealings with man, with the Gentile nations, with Israel, and all those different things. And we just have to sit back and say, be sovereign, and then we will be your hands and your feet to the nations of the world, because that's what we're supposed to do. The Great Commission doesn't go out the window because turbulence has taken place or tribulation, pressure has come to a nation or to the nations. No, that's when the church rises up and really shows the great grace of God. See, if God wanted to wipe everybody out, listen, he don't have to push a button. He doesn't even have to move a finger. He can think a thought and it's done. but he's confined himself to the Word of God. He's placed himself inside this Word according to his actions and his desires, his attitude, his character. And he says, you know, I don't want anybody to perish, even in the midst of destruction. I don't want anybody to perish. But again, the wages of sin is death, and there's a payday someday. And so I have to just say that, because I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are, you know, going to be riding this bandwagon because you had a prophetic word or because you saw something or said something. And then, you know, you get up on that high heel and that high horse and you start, castigating people. And that's just the wrong spirit. And that's not the spirit of this ministry. We're going to continue to help, and we're going to be a part of helping reap the end time harvest, even in the midst of chaos. So my warning to you is, listen, it's going to get worse. It's going to get unimaginably worse in this nation and around the world. You really need to prepare your home as an ark. First of all, it is all spiritual. The first aspect is spiritual. You got to get your life right with Christ. You got to get rid of the pet sin. You got to get rid of those things that hinder you from your relationship with God. And you know what those things are. You know what those things are. We all know what our sin is. You don't need a preacher to tell you. Your heart tells you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you get into the Word of God, the Word of God teaches you, and it shows you what sin is. And so I encourage you to do that. Second of all, just get your house in order physically. You know, learn from these disasters. Don't be ignorant. Don't be like one of the foolish virgins. Get your oil to the top. Get everything ready. Now watch this. Use common sense. If you live on the coast, anywhere on the coast, and you just watch this devastation, you need to prepare yourself accordingly. You need to learn the lessons of the mistakes that were made there. And one of the mistakes that I will just flat out say is, people shouldn't listen to man. They should listen to God. I'm not going to listen to man to tell me when and when not to evacuate. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit deals with me and he has spoken to my heart, like he spoke to many people, there are many people who got out of Houston. There's people who actually moved from that region because they believed the prophetic words. And I'm going to read something to you in a minute that's going to blow you away. In fact, it's confirmation to this particular word. So I'm not wasting my time with you right now. I'm trying to bring you to this understanding that we need to be discerning today. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't need to listen to, agencies and people who are they just walk by the flesh. We thank God for those in authority, and sometimes they make good decisions, and other times they make deadly decisions. And I believe we saw deadly decisions in Houston. But that's all I'm going to talk about that. So, you know, learn from this. If you're in a zone that's prone to flooding, think about how to protect your home. Think about, you know, maybe purchasing some type of boat, a fishing boat, little John boat, something that could, you know, you could use to help other people. It doesn't have to be on a coast. You could be anywhere, and this type of judgment takes place. You know, whether it's tornadoes, it's earthquakes, volcanoes, supercell storms, terrorism. We have so much that is headed towards us. The scorpions are everywhere, and we have no idea. We're on the dance floor, dancing like it's you know, an endless party, and beneath our feet are scorpions ready to sting us, and we have no idea because we're just so numb between the ears. We're partying down. We're listening to those in authority, whether they're governmental or whether they're political, whether they're, you know, they're prophetic or pastors or whatever. And we believe the report, and we don't believe the report of the Lord. When the Bible matches current reality prophetically now, when you can look at both and you see a mirrored reflection and a mirrored answer, you better wake up. You better put your coffee down and get your heart right with God. Look around you and do a 360. You need a 360 view of your home. When this thing went down in Harvey, Hurricane Harvey in Houston, my mind was racing on the preparations for my family and for my church. My mind was just, I was in the strategy mode, and I've been in the strategy mode of what can I do to avoid such a calamity? Because you know what? It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. There are some wonderful people down there in Houston who love God, who lost everything, and they're going to have to start over. But you know what? They're ahead of everybody else because they got faith in God. And they know that the Father will see them through, and they know that this earth is not their home. So you need to use wisdom in this hour. I can't tell you everything in this one video of how to prepare. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. You must have God as your guide. I don't know what he's telling you to do. He may tell you to do something completely opposite of me, and that is completely fine. As long as you build an ark and you build a wall, you build an ark of protection and you build a wall of protection for your family and for your neighbors. Because I'm telling you, it's about to get seriously, seriously dangerous in this world. And I just hope you take this to the Lord. You pray over it. Can it be delayed? Can it be denied? You know, what I feel in my spirit is that this is an absolute, that we've reached that point. It's far beyond the solar eclipse to me, and what the Father showed me, it goes all the way back to the four blood moons when he gave me a vision. I shared it with my church that it was a doorway. It was a threshold that we walked through and we entered into the point of no return. We can never go back prophetically. There can be, you know, delays and different things to his plans. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. We know in part and we prophesy in part. And, you know, we just stand in awe of him. He's sovereign. He's awesome. But for me, that's when I knew that where we were headed was a place that we could not take a U-turn. We may take a left and a right here, but we're not going to U-turn back. The days of Mayberry are over. The days of Leave It to Beaver and My Three Sons and all those, you know, innocent programs. Some of y'all go back to Bonanza you know, just those great days of innocency. But we're not going to see those days. We're going to see chaos and riots, and we're going to see destruction in this nation and around the world. So my job is to prepare. My job is to tell you and warn you. I have no hidden agenda. I'm not selling any products, by the way. I have nothing to sell to you. I'm not asking for any money. You know, so this video is completely the honesty of my heart. I don't know how to share any more urgency with you without jumping up and down and screaming and all that. You can catch that on Sunday morning on Ignited Life Now. But, you know, please hear the sincerity of my heart. Study what I just gave to you. Go to my website, check it out. And then also go to the Word of God and check that out. I want to read this confirming word to you because you need to hear this. This was given to me by Lynn Liaz just this morning. And she did not even know the totality of the word because, again, on the interview that we had, I just told her at the end, I said, this is what I heard, a September of sorrows. But check this out. This is completely amazing. This was a dream that took place on August 30th, 2009. And it's called the Houston Ship Channel Disaster. I've never even heard of this. I've never even heard of this, brother. Now, I've heard of some things about Houston that was going to take place, but, you know, you just don't know when or whatever. But listen to this. I was on a cruise ship in the Houston Ship Channel. I looked over the water and saw massive amounts of debris coming into the waterway. I saw pieces of rooftops, houses, and all manner of trash floating in the water. It was the leading edge of incredible amounts of fragments of what used to be homes and businesses. I didn't understand where all these debris could possibly be coming from or what could cause such a mega disaster. The cruise ship certainly would not escape being trapped in the rubble. The debris was so thick, I knew I could walk on top of it all the way back to Houston. I heard his voice say, quote, "When you see this, it has begun." This is August 30th. 2009, this is a gentleman who had a vision of the exact time that we're in right now, In fact, believe this or not, he was on a cruise ship when Hurricane Harvey came through. He was headed into Galveston and he could not get to the port because of all the destruction that has taken place and because of the hurricane. And he sent this to Lindley Oz to as a reminder and to show the Lord gives me the word, a September of sorrows. Okay, watch this. You're going to see the connection in just a minute. But my message of late has been this. Ezekiel chapter 7, evil upon evil. In other words, it had begun. It was going to continue. That Harvey was our sign. Harvey was evidence. Harvey was a landmark. Hurricane Harvey and the destruction in that region of Houston and the Gulf states. And I don't even know what it's doing right now up through Louisiana. It's supposed to get some of the rain here in Georgia. But the fact is this, that this would be a sign. He said, when you see this, it has begun. What has begun? Judgment has begun. The severity of judgment. See, I believe America has been on a slow bleed of judgment for a long while. Now watch this. I look forward towards the bow of the cruise ship and saw two tanker ships directly in front of us, a couple hundred yards ahead of our ship, sailing side by side, cutting a path through the thick debris before us, the field before us. The tankers were stoutly built and could withstand the beating from all the trash in the water. As the tankers cut through the rubble, they left a clear, watery path, making smooth sailing for us. Even in the middle of this catastrophe, we had no choice but to follow them back to the port. When we got near the dock, I simply opened the two side doors of the ship, waited for the dock hands to secure the ship, and stepped safely down into the dock. It was such a relief to be safe back in port. I believe this dream goes along with what the Father has been saying to me about more and more intense judgments coming to America. America has become dull of hearing and will not wake up and repent until it has suffered great pain. This is exactly what I've been preaching from Ignited Church. This is exactly what the prophets, the seers, the watchmen, the faithful sheep, the shepherds of God, people, you know, that have been making YouTube videos, just, you know, coming to you at all hours of the night, trying to warn you what God has said. And many people shun them and say, well, you know, they don't have a big ministry. Look at this backdrop. You know, it's a window and, you know, she has a curtain hanging over something. And we would castigate them. And the reality is they've been right the whole time. And your famous preachers have been lying to you the whole time. Now watch this. He talks about, he says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36. I have so many questions about this dream. What kind of disaster could possibly cause such a massive amount of destruction? Now this is August 30th, 2009. Perhaps a strong hurricane. Yeah, you're right on that one. Massive rainstorms causing destructive floods. A mega tornado, tsunami generated by an earthquake offshore, or maybe a meteorite crashing into the sea. When will this occur? Soon or some years later? Will there be more warnings? Will anyone listen if God did warn us again? Will there be a reprieve from God if we turn now? And then he says this, if you live in this area, be attentive to the Spirit of the Lord in all manners and all matters. Heed his warnings in all matters, for we don't know God's timing of such events until he reveals them. This is exactly, again, the cry of Ignited Church, the cry of Ignited Life Now podcast and our media ministry. We do not know when. We do not know where. And we do not know how God will respond to our sins. We don't always understand it. But we're watching it now in real time. And we're seeing it. And this is part of that beginning and really the increasing of judgments. I believe there's a kickoff event. I believe there's more coming. This is not it as far as, that's going to bring our nation to its knees, because it's not. This is more proof positive of the fact, proof positive of the fact that God can allow something like this to happen as a shaking and the church go right back to sleep. You watch and see. There'll be some crying and some moaning and some, you know, people wanting God to have mercy and those different things. But as far as a nation turning, this isn't enough. It's not going to do it. But for those who are awake like you and I, this is a bell ringer. This is an alarm telling us we're going to see another event. We're going to see another catastrophe. We're going to see another disaster. It's going to happen. He said, surely the Lord Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed the secrets to his servants, the prophets, says Amos 3:7. I love that because the word prophets there means worshipers. It's not necessarily a gift. It's a position. You can be a prophetic person by being a worshiper. America, you are asleep. Then this is an update to his dream journal for 9/15/2009 called the Houston Storm. I hope you're staying with me because this is all confirmation and very powerful. It's a vision. When I asked the Lord as to how something like this could occur, I was shown in a vision. The vision I was observing from a high altitude, I saw the Houston-Galveston coastline below. A very weak, unnamed storm was brewing just off the shore. Harvey was really unknown. It was coming through, you know, Mexico, but it what was it going to be? You know, we didn't have really understanding until it was just a couple of days off. But the point of the prophetic can be symbolic. A very weak, unnamed storm. And what that can mean prophetically is this. It was weak in the eyes of the people, and whether it had a name or not, it didn't matter to them. And that's exactly what happened to a lot of people. We get caught unaware. The TV weather reporter had said, this storm is nothing to worry about whatsoever. Then suddenly intensified and became a very large black storm line that no one had ever seen. The storm moved inland in a large black mass and engulfed the city of Houston and the surrounding area. Soon afterwards, the storm withdrew and it drove back a massive amount of debris as it returned to the sea. It caught millions off guard. And I'm going to tell you something. These next storms are going to catch millions off guard because you don't want to hear preachers like me. I don't have all the fancy, you know, entrapments and all the things that you want to hear. And I don't look like your favorite preacher or what have you. And I don't talk like him or her or whatever. We do it all the time. You know, we pick and choose who we want to listen to. Well, that may cost you your life. It caught millions off guard, and there must have been a great loss of life and property. Then I saw a calendar with the month September and the year 09. Then a hand appeared and marked a line through the 09, and that was the end of the vision. So there was something about September. Here we are at the end of September. We know that the storm took place here at the near the latter end of August, which could simply be that, you know, God allowed this storm to be delayed and or to come early is what I should say. And that's the point I want to remind you about or tell you about. In Ezekiel chapter 7, it speaks about the executioner getting up early. And in the play of the words in the Hebrew, when you read it in context, it sounds like this. It sounds like Israel or the guy on death row thought he got away with it. Maybe thought the executioner had delayed his coming and his sentence might have been a reprieve. But it goes on in understanding that the executor got up early. In fact, the guy on death row, which would have been Israel, met the executioner just a little early than he had planned. In fact, he might have thought it wasn't going to happen at all, but it happened on the day and it happened earlier. So when you look at things prophetically like this, that tells us, you know what? There's a possibility God is not delaying it anything now. He's speeding it up. And I believe there's an acceleration to this. But the fact that September is mentioned in here, could there be another storm? Could there be something more massive added to this, to that area? I have no idea. But I do know this. September will be a month of sorrows. A September of sorrows. And then the brother, you know, he tried to understand what it all meant. His name is Bill Nelson. And I imagine that Then Liaz will have more information about this particular word and be able to present it on her website or what have you. But I wanted you to hear that because of how powerful that confirmation is. And I'm going to read to you another prophetic word. This came to me from some very, very, very dear friends, their family of ours. And I'm not going to use their names, but their son, he's 12 years old. He had this dream, and he's very sensitive to dreams and sensitive to the things of God. So I want to read this to you, and then, you know, I'll pray for you, and I'll close. But listen to this. My 12-year-old son had a dream from the Lord two nights ago, and that would have been on the 17th of August. So he had it two nights before. That would be the 15th. My 12-year-old son had a dream from the Lord two nights ago. He saw each of the states in the U.S. on a map, each state represented by a building. Each of the buildings was being blown up by people who were directing the destruction, who were directing the others to complete where they missed killing all the people in the buildings. He saw that people in the buildings being blown apart in a horrific detail. He said it made him want to vomit. He saw a few people running away and a few people trying to help others escape. But most people, he said, just stood there and watched what was happening and did nothing. They were totally unmoved by the carnage. There was more details about our family, but that was the overview. He said he woke up crying in his sleep because of how bad it was. He said it was clear. It was a clear and very detailed dream. They go on and say that, you know, this young man has unusual sensitivity to the Spirit of God in his sleep. He has a tremendous heart for the Lord. And the parents had no doubt that this is a warning of what's to come. So, you know, he didn't understand the totality of what's going on with the deep state and you know, the different threat levels that are out there and all the prophetic threats and, you know, confirmations of threats and different things. So at 12 years old, I find that very amazing. So what's the point of this? The point of it is that God is speaking to children. God is speaking to young people, and he's warning them. The prophetic symbolism of this particular dream can be multifaceted, but the end result is destruction, death, carnage, insensitivity. The Bible says that, you know, the love of many will wax cold, and we see that. How do you, you know, be in a flood zone, a death zone like Houston, and rob people and loot and steal and do all the stuff, you know, that they do, that people do? That's the love of the love of humanity grown cold. I mean, stone cold. And so without getting into interpreting the dream, it's right there before us that destruction is coming to this nation in various ways. And how we interpret it, it really is not the matter. The matter is, do you believe it? I have people contact me all the time, people around me, friends that tell me, say, look, I heard this song, and I've been listening to these songs come in my head. And, you know, they speak of judgment, or they speak of war, or they speak of things to come. I believe it is loud and clear for everybody that wants to hear that we're in the midst of judgment, and it's only going to increase. Well, I didn't want to take up a whole bunch of your time, but I did want to get this out. Please go to Lynn Liaz's website. Go to my website. You'll see the interview. You can find this particular word written out. It should come on your phone app. And I want to get this message out to as many people as possible. Make it go viral, not for my sake. It's not about me. I'm not looking for nickels or noses. I'm not looking for popularity. I don't care about the thumbs up and thumbs down. There are people that do that. That's great. That's cool. But for me, I want you to be safe. I want you to walk circumspectively before your Father. I've been hearing this in my heart. Walk gently in your house, man. Walk gently with God. Find out what's in your life that's sinful. Find out the things that are holding you back from a wonderful, intimate relationship with God. Get the sin out. Get the sin out. Clean up your home. Do the best you can with your family and your children. Raise them right. Try to do right by your neighbors. Ask God to show you your blind spot, the weak spot in your life, the area of your life where you're most vulnerable to the enemy or to destruction or to the thief. God doesn't want you to be caught up in the whiplash of what's taking place in these last days. He wants you on the front lines, and he wants you reaping the greatest harvest that's coming. Let me pray for you, and let me pray for your family. Heavenly Father, I've delivered this message to those who will listen, and I pray in Jesus' name that they will respond, Father God, quickly and begin to fall upon their face and cleanse their homes and cleanse their hearts, that the spirit of an intercessor would rise up upon the Church of Jesus Christ in this hour, that we would intercede for our family. Father, those that are listening that are backslidden, full of addictions and full of issues and problems they cannot shake, I ask now for the breaking power of the anointing of God to break every chain off of their lives and to set them free. Father, bless the body, and may the body hear the alarms and wake up for the day that is upon us. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. And in Jesus' name, all these things shall be done. And I pray that I see you on the front lines.